This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's a beautiful morning!
Good morning! Good morning! Wake up, mister.
Starting up a brand new day.
It's such a good vibration. Don't act temptation. It's such a
What's up, Diego? Mission to enter the mothership, brother.
Ever heard a sports talk show like this before? Didn't think so.
What's going on, Dirty?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA, how you feeling, brother?
Man, I'm doing great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Trash Tuesday to you boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Thanks for being with us, everybody. What's eating you? What's annoying you? What's bugging you? Tweet at me, DA on CBS. I'll read through those coming up here on the show throughout this hour. Also, you can call me up and hit me up with what's annoying you at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Everything is fair game. Although, when you take shots at us here on the show, it does cut deep. Michael tweets, I'm trashing Andrew Bogus. Not sure why, but his voice just annoys me. I'm sure he's done something trash worthy.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
Ouch. I find Bogus's voice to be maybe the least trash worthy and annoying here on the show. Chris tweets, I want to trash my boss who never just gives me a day off. Fact, I'm my own boss. Trash me.
Oh, break out the hazmat suit.
Hashtag take a lap. Yeah, Chris, that's being a bad boss. Give yourself a day off. Ryan tweets, I'm trashing psycho girlfriend stalkers. Hashtag Guardy party.
Overflowing landfill.
Yes, we had Brett Gardner of the New York Yankees last week have a stalker who apparently has never met Brett Gardner but insists that she is his future wife. Crazy. Robin Topeka tweets, in DA, all this talk about weight remind me, how's the intermittent fasting going for Mraz with today being Fat Tuesday and Taco Tuesday? Hopefully Chubbo Nation gets a pass.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
What do you think?
I really want a taco right now. It's gone well. I actually made it through the weekend keeping to 8-hour intervals of eating, which for me is stunning because that is when I fall off the wheels completely. So I think things have gone well here, and I'm just trying not to think about it during the show.
Okay, so you're still doing it. You're only eating before 6:30 at night and after 10:30 in the morning.
Yes, however, it should be noted that I adjusted accordingly on Saturday to do a noon to 8 p.m., but I wasn't waking up at 3 a.m. I was waking up more 8:30, 9, and I knew that I'd be having a little food with family watching the Ranger game Saturday night.
And are you down?
I am at the same weight I was at on Friday. So, I hacked into a box of Ruffles Stouffer's chocolate that my mom got me for Valentine's Day. That put me off a little bit. And I had two hot dogs on Sunday. So, again, in the window, but I think the saltiness of the chocolate, I just got to eliminate some of those things. There are just minor errors, minor details in my footwork that need to be corrected.
Okay, fair enough. So you're pretty strictly adhering to the schedule.
I'm down 4 pounds still since I started.
But you haven't necessarily cut out some of the foods that also need to be cut out.
Sure, exactly. So okay. I have the regimen. It's just making a better decision with the football at certain times when something wafts my way.
Okay. So kind of like Jameis Winston, throwing for a lot of yards, can win some games, but still making some bad decisions.
But acknowledging the error after a week of seeing what worked and what didn't, I think is like watching film. And I do think that's going to help me here long
term. I would agree.
That's E1. That's a W.
I would agree. Ian Rapoport of the NFL Network is reporting that the Panthers are pleased with where Cam Newton's health is right now and are moving forward with him as their starting quarterback, which is a big deal. This entire offseason, at least I would say since about late last year, in terms of late of the NFL season, so maybe November, it has felt like it's been an inevitable divorce. That the Panthers want to move on. Cam has understood it. He's kind of posted on social media about leaving.
I'm not on Twitter or Facebook right now.
He's been connected to the Bears, to the Chargers, other teams in need of a starting quarterback. So it's interesting for Ian Rapoport to be reporting that right now the Panthers are moving forward with Cam as their starting QB. I don't think that this means anything is set in stone. I do think it suggests that the Carolina Panthers are open to bringing him back. And maybe that really was the part in question, whether the Panthers wanted to bring him back. Here's the thing. Cam Newton's health is a significant question at 31 years old. A really significant question. Because he's had a lot of surgeries, a lot of injuries, and a lot of different parts of his body injured at this point in his career. It's not been just one thing. It's been a lot of things. And he's thrown his body into harm's way for a lot of years. And so at 31 years old, yeah, it's a concern. What is he going to look like moving forward? And if you have a chance right now to move forward on him, trade him, draft somebody else, start anew, you have to consider that. Now, Rap tweets, and this is just a couple of minutes ago, a lot can still happen, but as of now, the Panthers are moving forward with Cam as their starter. While his foot is healing well, it'll be several months before he's game ready, a timeline that complicates any potential trade. Panthers coach Matt Rhule and his staff have been encouraged with how Cam has treated his rehab and how intent he is to get back on top. He spent plenty of time in town with so much to rebuild in other areas. Having a legit starter in place eases the transition. Whereas, here's what I'm reading. I'm reading that the Panthers were worried about two things. The foot and his desire to be great upon another difficult rehab. He's missed a lot of time. And at 31 years old, maybe there's been some question marks about how much grind do you want to put into coming all the way back again? And if you're kind of half in, half out because you're getting paid a lot of money, then that's not good for a franchise that probably is trying to reboot a little bit.
And frankly, you don't want to get burned like Andrew Luck, frankly, burned the Colts at the end because he did not want to keep going through these rehabs that had worn on him.
Right. So they wanted to gauge two things. Namely, the foot. Is the foot ever going to be good again? And then also the want. Sounds like they like what they see from both sides. They question the foot. They question the want. They got good grades here on both of them. That's good. But there's a huge but here. And that is that he won't be game ready for months.
Right.
Which complicates a trade, which probably means they've shopped them and haven't gotten anything back in return. He's not a free agent. He's still under contract with
him. So is this the spin zone? Is this, We shopped him. We know we can't get anything. Now we're paying him. We're stuck with him. Now we need to spin this and start a PR campaign so the team and the fans understand it and sell like we want Cam Newton.
I think so. I think, I hope, the foot is cleared. They're happy with it. His attitude is clear. They're happy with it. That would be at least somewhat truthful about this report, but you never know. I think the big thing is, if you're trying to trade Cam Newton and nobody in the NFL can guarantee when he's going to be able to play football games, what would you ever trade for Cam Newton?
Right, and you wouldn't get the value if you're Carolina that you feel like you need for a new coach and a new regime that wants to collect assets.
Forget value. You might not have a trade offer out there. I mean, let's just say the Chargers or the Colts.
Nobody would trade a seventh-round pick for Cam Newton.
Okay. A seventh-round pick, but if you don't know when he's going to be game-ready, what happens if the doctors say, yeah, he might be ready by, like, November 1st? Would you even trade a seventh-rounder for that contract?
I guess that's true because the contract comes into play there.
Got a lot of money still locked up in Cam.
But the other part of this is, you know, the contract, the rehab, the foot, the desire, all of that. Is Cam Newton now going to put in the work to make sure he learns an entire new offense, an entire new playbook, and get with the new program that is with Matt Rhule in Carolina?
Well, you think that maybe he would shove off those duties and not really care too much about it?
No, I mean, I guess that comes with the desire and the want, right? Because that comes with the package. But this is just a different scenario. If Ron Rivera and everything that Carolina had been there had been sitting there right now and they're still running the team, I think it is a little different of a desire and a willingness because you know everything's in place. This is another big, you know, something on his plate, and Cam Newton's already been asked to adjust his game before. Should he not run as much? Should he become more of a pocket passer? Who knows what Matt Rhule and that offense is going to ask of Cam Newton? So on top of the desire just to want to play football, on top of the foot healing, now is a desire to get in there and basically learn a brand new system. I think that's a third big cheese on this wheel.
Yeah, maybe so. I think Rappaport's report is not as groundbreaking as some people might make it out to be. Oh, suddenly the Panthers are totally cool with Cam Newton coming back. That big but here is, while his foot is healing well, it'll be several months before it's game ready. A timeline that complicates any potential trade tells me that's the big line here. The Panthers, if they could get a one for him, would trade him today. If they could get something really good back, they would trade him. But nobody wants to trade for a bum foot on Cam Newton if he's not game ready, and thus the Panthers kind of can't right now say we're publicly moving on yet. The Astros are now in spring training, and they're playing games. And yesterday, Jose Altuve was plunked. Now, it's unintentional, everybody assumes. It was an off-speed pitch, so it wasn't coming in there hot. Altuve gets plunked. Nobody's going to get disciplined on it. I don't know how baseball is going to move forward and assume they can know what's intentional and what's not intentional. But everybody at these Astros games are booing the Astros. They're booing them. They've had signs up. There's been guys with signs that have an asterisk about the Astros. There's been other stuff about cheating, and the signs have been confiscated. Now, let me tell you, I've spent many a spring training day in a ballpark, and I love it. I love just getting back out there into the sun, seeing baseball. It's laid back. People are having fun. Every spring training game I've ever gone to has basically been a glorified family picnic. People are kind of watching. They kind of know some of the players. They don't know most of the players. They're talking to people. They're with their kids. It's a fun, cheap alternative to regular season games. It's just laid back. I mean, there's parts of spring training, there's ballparks where you can bring in a towel and sit on the grass berm. This is not exactly an intense situation or atmosphere. For signs to be confiscated, people to be booing, shows you how heated things are going to be when things actually matter. I mean, spring training is essentially spring break. If people are mad at spring training, they're going to be really mad during regular season games. And if they're booing now and they've got signs now, forget about it in the regular season, especially if the Astros win. If the Astros are winning, oh, they become unbelievably hateable. Unbelievably hateable. To me, an early return on this is you're playing in a lot of retirement communities. These are people that are just out for a day in the sun. They're going to get their lunch. swinging by Ruby Tuesdays, and then heading over there to see a ball game. And if they're the ones that are antagonistic, have signs confiscated, angry, wait till you have boozed up regular people paying $75 for their ticket to the third deck. Wait till you have people signing real money away to go see games, parking, season tickets, etc. And that the Astros are good. It's going to be angry. I'm going to talk about this coming up here on the show with Todd Zeal, MLB analyst, 15-year veteran in Major League Baseball. The reaction to the Astros and how long it will be antagonistic next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Surge Protector, you're about to be zapped.
DA, what's up, brother? How you feeling? I love listening to your show, man. I listen to you every day. I can't wait for it, and I hate when it ends. Your gimmicks are the best gimmicks. Want to say I appreciate you guys, and have a good day.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
We appreciate you here on the DA Show. Thanks for making us part of your day. You can listen to every show podcasted, full hours, and the best of available now. Just search The DA Show on every podcast platform, including Stitcher, Spotify, Radio.com, Apple Podcasts. And you can listen to the best of or full episodes. On a Trash Tuesday, Alex tweets in, I'm trashing anyone who is still bringing up about the alliance that it's close to a year that it folded. The XFL shows some promise. We just need to let it go.
Oh, break out the hazmat suit.
It's a bummer that the alliance isn't around, although I don't think we need two different spring football leagues. But the alliance never had a chance to grow. Dodgy Tom Dundon pulled the plug on the funding, even after he said, oh, I love the potential of this league. Oh, wait, I hate the potential. I'm ending it right now. But I will say, alliance year two would have been better than XFL year one.
Captain, without a doubt.
Captain Johnny tweets, DA, I actually wrote this on Saturday while watching an XFL game. I'm trashing the league due to the jersey and logo designs. I admit I'm a bit old school. Maybe it's just that they're new and I'm not used to them. But because they look cheesy, it makes it even harder to watch.
I smell rotten eggs.
This was Mraz's point yesterday, that he's disoriented while watching the XFL because of the uniforms and the scoring rules. Steven tweets, I thought I had small hands. I just measured them at 8.5. Best man at my wedding just measured in a little over 10. He can palm the lighter weight bowling balls. Why does this whole discussion feel a little not suitable for work? Steven, there's nothing wrong with measuring your hand. What we found out today is that me and Cap have the biggest hands on the show, and that's significant because we're probably the most indispensable pieces of the show, and Mraz is an 8. And he's the smallest. He's got tiny baby hands. What's wrong?
Okay. I'm indispensable. All right.
No. I'm indispensable.
I understand that. Maybe Tom DeCelestino poked David Ayers yesterday.
So, the Houston Astros are hitting up a lot or getting a lot of flack. They're getting a lot of heat right now. With the fans and the media, etc. When will this end? Will it end this season? That's what we're kind of prying at today. Joining us here on the show is a 15-year veteran in Major League Baseball, played for a number of teams, also is an analyst for MLB and SNY as well. Joining us here is Todd Zeal. Todd, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks so much for joining us. We've already heard boos. We've seen signs have to be confiscated at spring training. What do you think? Is this just a raw spot right now for fans, or do you expect this to continue all season with the Astros?
I think it's a raw spot right now, but I do think it's not going to just go away. I mean, the only thing I can really compare this to in my lifetime as a player and a guy that's a fan of baseball is after the 94 season, when there was a work stoppage, when we went back, to work, so it were, fans, showed their displeasure with seeing the game stop by, either not showing up at all or showing up and being very vocal for a while. As baseball went on and as we kind of fell back into the rhythm of day-to-day baseball and you saw a good product on the field, people, you know, began kind of doing their thing that they usually do, and that is cheering for the team that they love. I think this one is going to be like that, but I think that may that raw spot may stay a little longer, especially as Houston makes their way around the league and get into ballparks that they haven't been in yet.
As a guy that played in the 90s and the 2000s alongside guys like Pedro Martinez and David Ortiz, those two guys called out Mike Fiers for being a snitch, for being a rat. Do you feel the same way as those guys do?
No, I don't. I think that they may have a vested interest because they're in Boston. They're still sort of Boston employees, if you will, and Boston right now is still in the eye of the storm. So I don't. I think Fiers went to a new organization. I think he had knowledge of the Astros. They were in the same division. They were going to play those guys a number of times. And I think just as anybody else in baseball would have done, when you know something about the club that you faced before, you discuss it with your teammates, you discuss it with your coaching staff. And my guess is that's how that evolved. And then when he became the source of the knowledge, when he was asked about it in a public forum, in an interview forum, he told the truth. Why should that be condemned? Because he didn't go out trying to make, you know, this happen in baseball. What he did is tell the truth about something that he had firsthand knowledge of.
Todd Zeal played 16 years in Major League Baseball. He joins us this morning here on the show. There have been some that have said, hey, you know what? This is a bigger advantage than PEDs. You played during the height of the PED steroid era. Do you think that sign stealing for the Astros was a bigger advantage than steroids?
That's a great question. I don't know that it's a bigger advantage, but if it's one-sided, if it literally is the Astros were doing it and nobody else was, then it's like having all the steroid players on one team. So I guess in that sense, it creates a greater advantage. I get it. You still have to hit the baseball, but there's a huge, huge advantage in knowing what's coming from the opposition. And I think, you know, some teams recognize that they seem to be on their pitches and they tried to switch up signs and do things to combat it. That may be the little bit of a nuanced difference between this and PEDs is, you can keep switching signs. It causes delays. You cause more meetings at the mound. But it is something that I think is just so uncharacteristic of the integrity of the game that it is, you know, I think a real black eye for the sport right now and certainly for Houston.
Here's the one confusing thing for me. There's been kind of this narrative that a lot of teams were trying to use technology to sign steal and that this was prevalent around baseball. And yet, all I've heard from guys in the league, Aaron Judge, Mike Trout, Bellinger, go down the list, Chris Bryant, is real anger about what the Astros did. And to me, I'm like, well, if these guys are so angry, that kind of suggests that not everybody was doing it or there'd be some more, I don't know, acceptance of it. What does it tell you that so many guys in the league are so angry about it?
I'm kind of noticing the same trend. I think this is the one thing that I've ever seen in my experience that has guys really being vocal about their disgust for the actions of other players. It's very rare that you see players going after players in a public setting like this and showing that kind of anger. And I, like you, had heard a lot of rumblings that this was maybe not at the same extreme, but there was a level of this that was permeating throughout the game. I just think that it wasn't done as successfully. I think it certainly wasn't done as blatantly. And you have the added factor that the Astros have been winning and in winning in very, you know, sort of demonstrative fashion. So I think that adds to the anger. And I think you're also seeing guys that are guys that were knocked off by the Astros and feel slighted more than they just do feel disgusted about the process.
longtime MLB veteran Todd Zeal, our guest this morning on the show. On the field question, how much does Mookie Betts help an already really good Dodgers team?
I think Mookie Betts helps any team that he goes out and puts a uniform on for. So that Dodger team was strong. That lineup was as good as any in baseball last year. I got to see them up close and personal when I was filling in for Ron Darling in the booth last year, and they were impressive up and down the lineup. But anytime you can put a guy like that, he's just such a clutch hitter, comes up in big moments, and don't forget how good he is defensively as well. He's a plus-plus for anybody that that gets him in their uniform.
In terms of the American League, if you said advantage Yankees, advantage Astros, those two seem to be the titans of the American League. Where would you tip the scales?
Wow. I think, you know, it comes down to playoff baseball a lot of times with teams like that. And I think the Yankees are poised this season to really do something special. I think they've been kind of hovering around it the last few years. Obviously, a lot can happen, and injuries are going to play a part. You've already seen some of that even early in spring. They really would like to have Severino on the mound every 5 days. But their lineup is strong. Their pitching staff is strong and only made better with Garrett Cole at the top of that rotation. So I think the Yankees, I think it would be a disappointment to the Yankees and the Yankees fans for them not to take it all the way this year.
So you're working alongside Ultimate Rivals, which I've seen some promotion, seen some commercials, some pre-roll for this video game, and it's really cool that the cartoons and the art of it is really wild. It's all these great athletes from all different sports, including LeBron and Mike Trout, Megan Rapinoe, Wayne Gretzky, Ovechkin, etc. And it launches today on Apple Arcade. That's Ultimate Rivals, The Rink. So how does this video game differ from the other sports video games out there?
Well, first of all, I got involved in this in a really fortuitous way. The founder, Ben Friedland, contacted me looking for some voiceover on early iteration. And I loved the concept. It involved utilizing all athletes from all the different sports licensors and being able to pit them together. So it's over-the-top action, arcade type of action. These guys come in like superheroes. You can face LeBron against Wayne Gretzky and Ovechkin with Alex Morgan. And it's just really fast-paced play. The way it differs from what's out there in the market now is what's out in the market now is simulation games that are, you know, closely mirroring the real action. This is over-the-top, great power moves, and you can create your ultimate team of athletes and pit them against each other. And it's Ultimate Rivals The Rink, I think, is what you're referring to. And ultimaterivals.com give you some more information. But as you said, it's out now on Apple Arcade. It's been had great reception on Apple Arcade. And, we'll be out there now and looking to come to console here in the not-so-distant future.
Yeah, there's a little NBA Jam, a little NFL Blitz in this, kind of stylized, cartoonish, big-time action, which is what I love. Those are the sports games that I loved growing up.
Well, those are the sports games that the founder, Ben Friedland, loved as well, and that is part of the DNA of this game. And the production crew and the designers and artwork on this has made it unique. There's nothing like it in the marketplace right now, and I think there was a big hole in the marketplace for people like you that missed those games, those arcade action games of the 90s, and want to have something that they can just jump in, pick up and play. And, you know, for me personally, bringing it to me personally, I couldn't really get into playing the simulated games because they're brilliant games, but they're so hard and, complex on the controls. This I can pick up and play. I can play with my kids, and it kind of reintroduced me to sports video games.
Yep, I agree with you. Todd Zeal joining us this morning here on the show. The website Ultimate Rivals. Check it out, because Ultimate Rivals, The Rink, is what we were talking about here. Check it out, ultimaterivals.com. Todd, good to talk to you, man. Hopefully we can do this again during the season.
Always a pleasure. Look forward to it.
Okay, buddy. Todd Zeal joining us this morning here on the show. More tweets coming in on a Trash Tuesday, but tweets about anything and everything. Eric tweets, the Kobe Memorial yesterday was amazing. MJ's speech was moving. I always thought of them as rivals, not friends, as close as they were. Brian tweets, wow, the GOAT MJ with great thoughts on Kobe. Yeah, that was interesting to see Michael, who is usually very dispassionate, very stoic. He always has the MJ cloak on of dominance, superiority, what have you. And here he was, really emotional, very vulnerable. And that's a rare spot for Michael to be in, but it was really moving. He was very genuine with his thoughts, shared a lot of interesting insight. And yeah, we always kind of assumed that those two guys were rivals in many ways, or at least that Jordan was kind of dismissive of Kobe biting at his ankles for so many years. And yet here he was really talking about his admiration for Kobe, because those two guys connected on a deeper level, which was passion, which was drive, which was ambition and perfection of the basketball game, which is a pretty amazing thing. We'll continue here on the show, getting a little advanced analytics on today's poll question. Zion Williamson reportedly is over 300 pounds. Is it possible that Zion is heavier than Mraz at his heaviest? Mraz tipped the scales at 298 7 years ago, the night after eating a Crave case of White Castle sliders here on the show. He did not make it all 36. I believe you had 25?
I had 25 on the show, but you gave me a full 24 hours to complete them. I ended up finishing all 36 over the 24-hour period.
And the one big takeaway was just how puffy you were, which is where...
Puffiness with sodium.
That's where that drop comes from. You said the big thing there was it wasn't that you were full, you felt really puffy because of all the salt.
Yeah, my body had ended up basically pumping out all the water, and I had had fluid all throughout my body from the saltiness and the onions and everything. I was like a blowfish. My pants basically exploded.
You felt like a blowfish.
I did. I had a shirt that said no limit that had reached its limit.
And, Bogues, you looking at the picture of Mraz.
Wow.
Upon eating, this was 25 of the 36 sliders. It's a remarkable picture. I'm so glad that we caught it. Like a National Geographic photographer capturing something in the wild that may never happen again, it really brings to the surface what that was like.
You ever get, like, those Facebook advertisements, like the 15 photos you can't believe were captured? Like, this is right up there with, like, the bridge running over water.
With the what?
I forget it. Yeah, it's, you're not on Facebook enough.
Bilotti, what does it say to you when you see this picture of Mraz with that type of belly?
Just utter failure. That's what it says to me.
It looks like failure. The guy ate 25 out of 36 sliders.
Just that it's just he just completely fried himself of any physical activity in that picture.
Well, that's true, but I will say this, Mraz. I'm going to give you credit here. That didn't speak to me of failure. It speaks to me about commitment.
Thank you.
You were full, you were sick, and you were puffy. I mean, that belly that you're showing there is so aggressive of a
protein?
Belly.
Protein?
And you kept eating. And you kept putting it down, even though you felt like a blowfish.
Guys, how far along with Billy were you in that picture?
Guys, you have to understand that right there is the inner makings of who I am to the breadcrumbs. Sometimes people are born with that natural talent as an athlete. I was not born with natural talent as a producer. But doing things like this, the show pony tricks of eating until near death of White Castle, look, that kind of stuff helped build my character and help build the show. And what we have today, what I get discredited for, you look back at the early makings and say, you know what? I could have not eaten that Crave case, but where is a Mraz today? Maybe healthier, but maybe not in this chair. And that definitely, those things helped along my deficiencies in other areas as a producer.
Let me tell you this, okay? The NFL just celebrated 100 years, and there were pictures of the muddy fields of Rockford, Illinois. And there's guys that we've never heard of playing without helmets. This was the roots of Mraz and the DA show. These were the black and white grainy photos. We're on overnights. Nobody knows we exist in this building. We've got to do stuff to grab people's attention. We've got to have fun. We've got to challenge the limits of what sports talk radio can be. And there's a guy who is well past his limit, despite wearing a no limit t-shirt.
Pretzel bun?
And his belly is exploding. And you can see a glassy-eyed Mraz with a chin.
It's not exploding. It's oozing.
A second chin is protruding out. This was also the years before we convinced Mraz to completely shave his head because he looked like Homer Simpson the one strand.
Sure.
So you can see a little bit of the strands of hair on the side. This was a Mraz at the very start. It was like watching the Bears wear those orange vertical striped jerseys.
Anthony Munoz wasn't a Hall of Famer from his first year on, but the groundwork was laid. I'm proud of that moment because you know what?
You are.
I allowed myself to lose weight. After that, I allowed myself to be a growing moment. I allowed people to notice who I am, damn it. And when you see these other producer interviews walk through here, they never put their bodies on the line like that, like I did for this place.
I'm looking at that belly, and it honestly, this is not an exaggeration, looks like you stuffed a sofa chair pillow underneath there.
I might have eaten one at that point.
Looks like there's a sectional underneath your shirt.
You say that. I see the spot in which Star Wars is it where Luke is cold and he cuts open that animal and the guts come falling out. It looks like somebody cut Sean open and his intestines had slid out underneath.
It is just such an amazing shot, and I'm so glad we captured that. And it's just like bridge running over water, as Mraz would say. I encourage you to go look at this picture because we dust it off every couple of years, but there's nothing like it. I've never taken a picture as impactful as that picture. I wish we could submit this for the Pulitzer Prize because it has that type of social impact.
Look, I think in sports, there are two iconic pictures. It's Babe Ruth pointing to the fence, and it's Mraz sitting there after the White Castle burgers. I mean, both of those go hand in hand. You can't tell the story of photograph in sports without those.
This is reminiscent of Ali standing over
his foe. Good one.
Flexing, I believe, over Sonny Liston. It is of that caliber.
Yeah, I mean, this ranks a little higher than the Ali picture, obviously, but yeah, it's right there.
Go to Twitter, DA on CBS or CBS Sports Radio to see the picture of a natural Mraz in his habitat after 25 sliders.
855-212-4227.
And as he said, he wins because in the end, he's got this cushy sidekick job, raking in the dough.
Well, here's where he put his body on the line. This was a commitment thing.
Yeah.
You know, he has been questionable in his effort at times during our 7+ year run, but this
not
time.
Not the last 7 days.
This was commitment right there because he did put his body on the line. Andrew Bogish has our headlines. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning to you. These headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save pay an average of $796 less per year. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. Joey Smallhands climbed up to the podium this morning at the Scouting Combine in Indy and tried to slow the speculation about him boycotting the Bengals.
I'm not going to not play. I'm a ball player. Whoever picks me, I'm going to go show up.
Joe Burrow adding he will not work out at all this week at the Combine. He'll do all of that stuff, including throw at LSU's Pro Day. NFL players and owners will discuss the proposed CBA today in Indy. The union should then soon vote to ratify last week's agreement. In the NBA, last night the Clippers beat the Grizzlies 124-97 at Staples Center, hours after the emotional tribute to Kobe and Gianna Bryant. Bradley Beal is the first player since Kobe in 2007 to score 50 on back-to-back nights, 53, then 55, but both in losses, 137-134 in OT to the Bucks last night. The Rockets beat the Knicks 123-112. The Magic rallied for a 115-113 win in Brooklyn, and it's not exactly T.J. Warren's return to Phoenix,
which was a big one,
but Ricky Rubio was back in Utah last night.
I had like really, really good 2 years, not just me, my family really enjoy it here too. So that means a lot to me to really come back here and knowing they still have some love for me. But like I said, sometimes we forget this is business, but it goes beyond that.
And like Warren, who starred in that emotional return to Phoenix earlier this year,
right?
Rubio, 22 points, 11 assists, 7 steals, and a win.
That's
131-111 over the Jazz.
Wow.
Said he
up.
Felt as good as any game this year going into it. He was so jazzed. That's pun unintended. He was so excited to play the Jazz. Kansas is number one in college hoops again this season. They began this stint with an 83-58 rout of Oklahoma State. Udoka Azubuike, 19 points and 16 boards. DA, back to you.
Thank you, Andrew. When we return, advanced analytics on the poll question today, plus your epic fail. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
No one knows what analytics is. They think it's like a bunch of nerds doing math, which I don't know, maybe that's what it is.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
Our bold question today, do you believe Zion Williamson, reportedly over 300 pounds, currently weighs more than Mraz did at his heaviest, which is 298? On Twitter, you guys said, by a small margin, no. 55% of you believe no, Mraz was heavier. 45% said yes. A little bit skewed, well, a little bit more skewed for the Facebook crowd. 63% of you on Facebook said no. So most of you do not believe that Zion currently weighs more than 298. Here's the largest players in NBA history, heaviest. Oliver Miller, peak playing weight, 375. Shaq, peak playing weight, 360. Eddie Curry, 350. And Tractor Trailer, 320. I'm telling you, if Oliver Miller got to 375, it is not a stretch that Zion right now weighs 300. That's your advanced analytics and your poll question today. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. This exact discussion.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
He's a big boy with big lower trunk. The guy can absolutely, if he's not 300, he's in the 290s.
Look, I'm not denying that he's a big boy.
So you got a poke store.
What I am saying is you watch Zion play, he doesn't look like he has an ounce of fat on him. He really doesn't. He looks jacked up.
Well, muscle weighs more than fat. All right.
You got to go to the poke store. I go to here.
First of all, I've heard that old wives' tale. Weight is weight, all right? A pound
you
of feathers
like that big boy.
And a pound of bricks still weighs a pound. All right?
Oh, God.
Don't give his height. Just, you know, he's big.
No height either.
No, I think it's stupid.
That's too invasive for you.
I think that we should cross some HIPAA laws there at some point.
What about age? Is that a HIPAA law violation?
No, age is fine.
A hippopotamus law.
Age is fine. I get to get
What about hand size?
Again, that falls into, you know, height, weight. I guess if you want to reveal it, it's fine. I would not feel comfortable if I was in the NBA with anybody knowing my weight.
Which is why they don't tell you how fat they actually are.
Exactly, which is why they always go down, which is why they're listed as a lighter weight than they are.
As the only one in this room who's ever come close to three spins, I find it highly offensive that you guys think you could judge what could be three spins.
Okay, let's put it this way. When was your peak heaviness?
Overnight days.
I got a family history of some pretty hefty people.
Okay, so 2013, let's say. You hit 298, you said.
I hit 298. So 1-0 got done on the show.
Okay. 2013 was pre-ranch dressing.
Okay.
Window,
so here,
right.
So guys, okay. So we put Mraz at 298 on a plank. Okay, a piece of some
right
type
on
of,
here,
of
on
wood.
This
some
desk.
Type of wood though
sure.
that we can lift. Okay, or he's in a chair like one of those Greek weddings.
No,
Mraz. Okay. So we put him in a chair at 298, and me, you, Bogues, Bilotti, and Kaplan, we all get each corner of the chair to lift him up.
Yeah.
Okay? We then get Zion, currently, and put him in the same chair. Who do you think it's tougher to get up?
Me.
No way. Zion.
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 And his weight is distributed better because he's taller. Me, the porker of all porkers.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Paul tweets, DA, that picture of Mraz looks like a busted can of biscuits. That's exactly what it looks like. Our toll-free line sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home, hard work. Get a quote, geico.com. That's easy. Skinny, in response to that picture, simply tweets, bring me Solo and the Wookiee. Yes, Jabba the Hutt. Adriana tweets, I'm trashing anyone that dumps on Bogus's tropical paradise vacation. He's sitting on a beach drinking all day, and we're freezing our butts off trudging to work. He wins. I'll bring my kids to trade and wear the hell out of those bracelets.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
I agree. Carla tweets in, DA, I'm trashing drivers using the center turn lane as a driving lane. I'm listening in Meridian, Idaho on KTIK, The Ticket. Trash them as well, because once again, what we're talking about usually on this show is bad drivers on Trash Tuesday.
Splash Brothers, more like the Trash Brothers.
Adam Ray tweets, I'm trashing my Utah Jazz. If you get embarrassed by the Suns in your own home court, There's something you need to figure out, and fast.
Let's face it. That's straight trash.
CJ tweets, I'm trashing people who make the same unfunny joke every day but think they're hilarious.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
That's kind of the essence of this show. And Kyle tweets, I'm trashing Mraz for not accepting the fact that Zion is in fact, at least two Jockalones.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer here on the show and the home of Hockey Pock. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel. Good to have him back. Audio director. Thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines and Andrew Kaplan on the simulcast. I'm DA. The mothership disconnects.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.